Me, please, to Psalm 51. One more time. I also want to extend a great, great thank you to Carl and Mark. Mark, I don't see he's here right now. They teamed together, and we had a couple of dead trees out there on the parking lot, and they took them down this week and got rid of them for us. And thank you very much for that. Thank you. We wouldn't want a dead tree to be falling on a car here. And speaking of parking lot, I don't know if you've noticed, but we expanded the parking lot last year and blacktopped it. And right now there is not a space available. It is full. And people parking on the street. So, yeah, it is a good sign. So pray for the leadership. So we got to figure out what to do to cause the parking lot to be expanded probably out that way towards the hill. But in the meantime, we do ask that as you park in the parking lot, make sure you stay right between the lines and don't take two parking spaces. Some people, they're pulling in, but then they pull too far ahead. So now they're taking the parking space in front and in back, you know, and then that makes it hard for somebody else to get in. If you're parking along the building or along the tree line, pull up as far as you can. All right? Praise God. When David wrote Psalm 51, he wrote this as this was, he wrote out what his prayer was to the Lord when he was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, for his shenanigans with Bathsheba and even causing Bathsheba's husband to be murdered. He realized what had happened. Nathan brought his attention to his sin. And David had a very repentant heart. He cried out to the Lord, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." He took ownership of his sin. He didn't try to blame anybody else. I don't know, 3 weeks ago you may have seen in the news where Mark Zuckerberg, who is the CEO of Facebook, he admitted to censoring people on Facebook politically and through several venues. And he said it was because of the White House pressured him to do it. So in essence, what he was saying was it really wasn't my fault, it was the White House's fault. Listen to me. Don't ever come to God and say the devil made me do it. You remember, if some of us older people remember Flip Wilson? Oh, don't give me that. The devil made me do it. You know, the devil made me do it. No, the devil cannot make you do anything your mind is not already entertaining.
Right.
That's the bottom line. If you're a Christian, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, God has taken you out of the powers of hell and he has brought you into the powers of heaven. He's taken you out of darkness and placed you in his marvelous light. He has taken you from the sin nature and brought you into the saint nature. I thank you for your exhortation this morning. I do oftentimes say I am a sinner saved by grace. And I do sin, but I am a saint. I'm a sinning saint. Sometimes I sin. So I'm telling you the truth. You can ask Kathy, she'll tell you. I do, she never does, but I do sin from time to time. I make mistakes. I miss the mark. You know, that's what sin means. I miss the mark. I miss the mark. I didn't aim right. I didn't reach out right. I missed the mark. You see, David, he sinned. Why? Because he was entertaining the thoughts to begin with. Bathsheba presented herself on top of the rooftop of her house, and David was on the top rooftop of his house scoping things out. What was he doing? He's entertaining thoughts. He was not bringing every thought unto captivity unto the Lord, as the scripture commands us to do. But he took ownership of it. I would challenge Mark Zuckerberg, take ownership of your censorship. Because you did it. White House may have pressured you. The devil will pressure you. But he cannot make you do it. He cannot twist your arm to the point where your shoulder's popping out of joint. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. So David cried out to the Lord and he submitted himself to the mercies of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now drop down to verse 7. We covered last week up to verse 6. Today I want to pick up at verse 7. Because David said some very interesting things here as he prayed to the Lord. You know, when you pray to God, you need to just bare your heart. And I will say that you won't necessarily always be 100% scriptural. Because quite frankly, your life is not 100% scriptural. You need to bare your heart to the Lord. You need to cry out to him. David said this in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. He started out with this portion of his prayer, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. You know what he was saying there? Purge me with hyssop. I want you to look with me in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and no, guys in the sound room, I did not have that on the list. Exodus chapter 12. Very interesting to see this. This was the beginnings of the Passover. And in this, in verse 21, it says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel of the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over. Say, pass over. He will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Why was the destroyer passing over their house? But because the blood that was on the lintel and on the doorpost signified that these people in this home belong to God. And though they were not perfect, they had sinned, they struggled. They struggled in even having faith in God many times, but they belonged to him. And when David, back in our text, in Psalm 51, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. David understood the Passover. And he was saying to God, purge me with hyssop. What did he was saying? Take the hyssop, dip it in your blood, and mark me as yours. I have sinned. I have fallen short. I have done a grave sin. I against you and you only have I sinned, he said. And he was even saying, I don't know if I am worthy to be your son anymore. But Lord, purge me with hyssop. Mark the lintels of my life and the doorposts of my life that I belong to you.
Yes.
That's what he was crying out. He says, I shall be clean. The people in Egypt, the Hebrew people, were in their house, and the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost signified that they were clean. They weren't perfect, but they were clean. Why? Because of the blood of the Passover lamb. And David was saying the same thing. Cleanse me by the Passover lamb. He had the faith to look forward. You know, you wonder why, how can all the Old Testament people, how could they be saved? Because Jesus hadn't come yet. That's because they had the faith to look forward to the Messiah. We have the faith to look backward to this Messiah. They had faith to look forward. The Messiah was the Messiah from day one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father in John chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
He's the only way. There's not many different ways. He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way for you to be forgiven of your sins. Who here has sinned in their life? If you ain't voting, you're lying. Then that right there is a sin. All right, we have all sinned. Who sinned yesterday? Let me tell you something. Yesterday, I'm working on my house. I'm working on the shop. And there was a part of the sill right by the door that had rotted out. Now, listen to me. This is something. This is God just speaking to my heart right now. That sill rotted out because I didn't tend to it properly. I had a step that was a makeshift, stupid step that was up against it, but it was tilted backwards. So when it rained on that step, the water went backwards onto the sill. Well, you know what happened over the very few years? Actually, once when I done, the sill began to rot out because I didn't tend to it. I'm not stupid in that I knew that that was not right. I was stupid because I didn't tend to it. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
We're talking about sin in our life. You allow the sin to stay, and it will begin to rot your very inner structure, your very spiritual being.
Yes.
So I ended up having to fix it. And sometimes fixing something that's rotten is not fun. Sometimes to tend to your life that has been rotted by sin is not fun to try and put it back together. So I cut the rot out, and I pulled it all out. And Kathy and I, we went to Home Depot and got some materials for a couple other projects that I got, and got a 2x8x8 pressure treated. I'm not going to give it a chance to rot again. Pressure treated, but it was only 4 foot, and I cut it, and I went to put it in, and I finally got it in, so it's in place, and I'm nailing it with 16 penny galvanized spikes, and I came down, and I went like this to hit that nail, and it glanced off the nail and hit my shin with that hammer, full swing. Full swing. I'm telling you. You know, the first thing I did was look around and see if anybody saw what stupid thing I just did. And then I sat down and went, and I'm proud of myself. I didn't swear. I didn't, at least out loud. But I'll tell you, it still hurts. Why all of that happened? Why? Because I did not tend to something that I knew was going to rot it to begin with. And God is calling his people. The title of this message, this is part two or part three. I forget now. Two?
Yeah.
Two. Okay, that's right. The first time was just an intro. You know, pursuit of overwhelming joy. Who here wants to have an overwhelming joy in their life? But this is where what David is saying here, what I believe God is speaking to us and speaking to the church at large. It's a message that we were hearing throughout the United States as we traveled for 2 months. God is calling his people to a new level of repentance.
Yes.
We want the Holy Ghost hallelujahs and all the feel goods and the Holy Ghost goosebumps and all that. And listen to me, I love those too. But God is saying we need to get deeper.
Right.
I want to get to the depths of your being.
Yeah. Yes.
I want you to understand you belong to me.
Yes.
You do not belong to sin. You do not belong to the sin eater. You belong to me.
Hallelujah.
Because sin will eat you up.
It sure will.
But I will raise you up.
Yes.
Sin will destroy you, but I will remake you. You see, God is in the business of raising up people. But in order to be raised up to that place where we have that overwhelming joy, we got to get rid of some baggage.
Right. Amen?
Amen. You know, we got to get rid of some baggage. We need to understand that life is not about me. Life is about God flowing through me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Look with me there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says this. For we are his workmanship.
Yes, we are.
Created in Christ Jesus for good works, not for sinful works.
Right.
Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. Say to the person sitting next to you, you are God's workmanship. You are. You are God's. Now turn around and say it to the person on the other side of you. You are God's workmanship. You are. You were created. You are created in God. David was saying, create in me a clean heart. You know what he was saying? Bring me back to that place where I began with you. Make me new again. Create in me that clean heart. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. I understand, Lord, that I was created by your workmanship. I am your son. But I have fallen. I have failed. I have sinned. But I am asking you, Lord, that you create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, to renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Listen to me. God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But sometimes we need to invite him into our life.
Right.
Not just assume.
Right.
Don't just assume. Take him at his word, but remind him of his word. God, you said you would never leave me. You would never forsake me. Lord, for some reason, I just don't feel you, your presence in my life right now. And I don't understand why. But I am not going to be a man, or I'm not going to be a woman that is moved by feelings.
Come on.
I am going to be a man, and I'm going to be a woman that is moved by faith.
Right.
Hallelujah for that. God has given each and every one of us a measure of faith. I don't have enough faith. Then you're just telling God that he didn't give you enough. Scripture talks to us about growing our faith.
Yeah.
He gives us a seed of faith. But you know, faith doesn't grow if you don't use it.
Right.
Faith doesn't get bigger if you don't stretch it. God will stretch you. He will stretch your faith. He will bring you sometimes to the place where you're going to go, I don't know about that. Listen to me. God knows everything.
He does.
And he is a God of everything. And he is the God that can take care of anything.
That's
and
right.
Everything.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how ugly it is. I don't care what it is. On in your life, if you will submit it to God, God will take care of it his way. I guarantee it. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. He was saying, I want to back up to verse 8. He says, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Well, I really pondered on that. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. The bones, Lord, that you have broken. But what David was recognizing there is that God, in his sovereign beauty and his holiness and his righteousness and his justice, is breaking me down from everything that is me and rules in me so that he will have full rulership. You hearing me?
Yeah.
He's breaking you down. David said here that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Yeah.
He's saying, Lord, the bones that you have broken, the part of me that you have destroyed that wasn't in line with your word, that very part of me that's reduced to powder is going to now rejoice in you. Why? Because I'm set free. I am free. Jesus said he was set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. What David here is saying, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. He's saying, return to me the joy of my salvation. Actually, it says of your salvation. It's not my salvation, your salvation. Return to me the joy of your salvation. You see, the joy of my salvation is not contingent on what was going on in this world today.
Right. Right.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You look at what's going on in this world, and you got everything, every reason, every earthly, fleshly reason to be down in the dumps. But David said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your salvation is not contingent on what's going on in this world. The joy that you give me in knowing that I'm saved. Listen to me. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Do I always act like it? No. But then again, I'm in good company.
Right.
Oh, sure, go there.
I wasn't accusing. I was just making a statement of fact.
Amen.
David. And I understand that whenever I'm pointing a finger at somebody, I've got three fingers pointing right back at me. But I got one pointing right back up to the Lord. Because he's the one that helps us all. All right? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. What David is saying is like, when that joy is expressed in my life, I'm just going to be so excited about you, I can't help but tell people about you.
Right.
I just can't help it. Yeah? Let me tell you something. I love my wife. She is absolutely knockout gorgeous to me, you know?
Sweet.
And I will tell her that. And she'll stand there, you know, with her gray hair and all. She'll be like, no, I'm not. I say, yeah, you are the most beautiful woman in this world to me. All right? Which means I don't care what anybody else says.
That's right.
What counts is that my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world to me. And I love her dearly. And you know something? I have absolutely no problem whatsoever in introducing her to other people. People that don't know her. Hi, this is my wife, Kathy. She's the woman, the love of my life. You know, we've been married for 50 years and she's still sane. You know, you figure that. Miracles will never cease, you know. It's been 50 years with me. You know, but I have no problem in introducing her. Why? Because I have a joy out of our marriage. Is our marriage always joyful? No. There are times she has a right to be wrong. You know? But, I mean, I actually find out that she's more right than I am. You know, she's got better ideas than I have. Some of you go, boy, Pastor, you come up with some great ideas. I said, sure do. It's called one flesh. Kathy's the one that comes up to them, and then she feeds them to me, and I give them to others, to the church, all right? But see, David is... I didn't hear that. You can sit down now. David is saying here, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the love you have for me. Restore it to me so that I understand it, so I have it back. That I've got it back. Because the sin that I committed separated me from you. And I need to get back to you. And you bring me back to your salvation. You bring me back to that intimacy with you, Lord. And I'm just going to get so excited about you that I'm going to teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Hallelujah. He says in verse 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. I'm looking at deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. You know what forgiveness is? This is something that God just dropped into my heart. It's not a big rocket science statement. But it's simply this. I circled the word deliverer in my Bible and a little arrow, and I wrote this. Forgiveness is deliverance. Forgiveness is deliverance. When God forgives me of my sin, he delivers me out of the clutches of it. The reason people return to it is because they don't take their eyes off of it. They keep their eyes on it. When God's saying, I want your eyes on me, not on that. I delivered you from that, so why do you keep looking at it? It's going to rot your soul.
Right.
Tend to it now. Deliver me from the bloodshed of bloodshed, O God. The God of my salvation. Now he's laying claims to it. Before, in verse 12, he's saying, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now he's saying, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud your righteousness. Hallelujah. You know, when we sing unto the Lord as a congregation and we're praising God, and I know it's canned music, but you know something? God has anointed your worship. He's not so content... concerned about whether there's instruments or whether it's a recording. What he is concerned about is your heart being expanded to him and released to him, and that you will be abandoned to him. That's what he's interested in, and that's what he anoints. He doesn't say in his word, I anoint the guitarist. He doesn't say, I anoint the violinist. He says, I anoint my people. I anoint and I inhabit the praises of my people. Are you my people? Are his people?
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
Then he inhabits your praises when you praise him. Hallelujah. Verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Now, I'm going to go through some scriptures. Now, I want you just to walk with me in them. Turn with me to Isaiah verse 55. Isaiah verse 55. Yeah, I'll tell you when I get to 55. Isaiah 55, and we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. Isaiah 55, verse 12 and 13. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. Who wants peace in their life? Hallelujah. Then get rid of the sin. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling me. Deal with the sin, and peace will abound. You don't deal with the sin, there'll be no peace. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I love this verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress tree, and instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree. What is God saying there? When you start praising him, you start worshiping him, when you have been released from the sin in your life, that you have repented from it. You know what repentance is? Turn away from it. To turn away from it. And when you begin that process, and that's a place of maturity where I'm quick to repent when I realize that I've sinned. And when I realize that I'm being tempted, I start putting into place that which is an antidote to the temptation. But when I begin to praise him, when I begin to be released and my life is cleansed in that fashion, then I begin to bear good fruit in my life. That's what God was saying here, is instead of a thorn shall come up a cypress tree. Instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree. Turn with me to Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5. Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. There's that word, saint. No, you don't have to go to a Catholic church and be all but perfect in order to become a saint. You're a saint because you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You hearing me? He calls you a saint. Some may not call you a saint, but he calls you a saint. I love that. I'm Saint Matthew. I don't know. I just had to throw that in. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Listen, most of you have raised kids. And you should understand this scripture. For his anger is but for a moment. You ever get angry at your kids?
Yes.
Your mama and dad ever get angry at you?
Yes. A lot.
A lot? Really? How often did they get on your kids? Yeah. His anger is but for a moment. But remember this. He's our Heavenly Father. He says, his favor is for life. My daughter was hard to raise. How she still got the favor of her father's eye. weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, let the sin that you struggle with grieve you. Let it cause weeping in your spirit, because it causes weeping in the Spirit of God. But it does not take away His favor. He still loves you with an everlasting love. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will forgive you. I will forgive you. As you confess your sin, I will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 25. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Isn't He? And He's greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Zephaniah. And if you wonder where that is, that's on page 1117. Turn with me, please, to Zephaniah. It's right after Habakkuk. If you can find Habakkuk, you're doing well. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Did you get it up on the screen? Yeah, you got there a whole lot faster than me, but you got a computer that does it for you. Is it on page 1117? No? The Lord your God is in your midst. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Listen to me. This message has been about being delivered from death and from sin to repent and to confess it and to deal with it so that weight is lifted up off of your shoulders so that you can praise Him and you can glorify Him in a newness and a freeness that you haven't had before. But listen to this. It says He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine that? God sings for you. I've never really thought about that. I'm in worship service, hallelujah, worshiping God, and I can picture God just savoring it. But it says here He sings along with us. He sings over you.
I know, isn't that awesome?
Isn't it awesome?
It is.
What's so awesome about it?
Well, what's so awesome about it is that He sings over us. He speaks over us. When we get to heaven, we'll sing with Him. He'll sing to us. We'll sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," with the angels, with the saints. Praise God.
Oh, amen. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, come on up here. You preach it, okay? Oh, you're doing really good. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. But He does. He rejoices over you. He rejoices over you with singing. Listen, I want myself to be so released from sin, so released from this earthly bondage.
Amen, brother.
Of sin, then I'd be so released that the joy would be overwhelming in my life. I have a joy in God. I hope you can see that. I want you to know that. I have a joy in Him, but it's a continual thing. I have to continue to deal with stuff that's in my life. Why? Because a lot of stuff there to deal with. The one who says, "Oh, I think I finally got it to the place where I just don't sin anymore. Look out. I'm getting out of the way of that lightning bolt." Turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. We're close to finishing up. Isaiah 61. All right, you there? Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Hallelujah for that. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? Because he has clothed me with a robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels, he's covered me with a robe of righteousness. So I have the garment of salvation. I have the robe of righteousness. But you know, in my frailness and in my weakness, I stain it. Sin stains me. It stains that robe that he has given me. You see, that robe cost God dearly to be able to put upon me. It cost him his son. And when I sin, I stain that robe, which is showing very disrespect for what God did for me on that cross. But in his love, in his righteousness, and in his justice, he does this for me. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together. That's what we're doing here. We come together and reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That sin stain gets bleached out by the very blood of Jesus. So that my sin, which is red like scarlet, becomes white as snow. Oh, praise God. And there's nothing I can do to make that happen but just to confess my sin and let him cleanse me. Hallelujah. That's his job. That's his place. That's the whole work of the cross, is to cleanse you from sin, to take you out of darkness and place you in his marvelous light. Now, please forgive me, I did lie. There's one more scripture I want to go to. And we will close with this. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Listen to me. Your sin does not corrupt the inheritance you have. It can't, because his inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. See, this is what God wants you to have. He wants you to have that joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. He wants his people to be so filled with him and so filled with joy in him, not joy in the things of the world, but joy in him. and the power of his might that he invests in you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Somebody go, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
He has taken this person who is has sinful, who is crud at times and doesn't always get it right, sometimes rarely gets it right, and I can't even think for myself at times, and yet God says, I still love you, I created you, and I am going to take my spirit and I'm going to invest it into you. And when I invest my spirit into you, I expect that I'm going to get back a return on my investment. But even that you cannot perform for me. You let me live my life through you.
Right, right.
And when you find something in your life that is blocking that from happening, I'm just asking you to deal with it. And I'm not asking you to deal with it alone. I will deal with it with you. Listen to me. God's going to deal with the sin in your life whether you like it or not. But if you buck it, you're in for a rough road. But when you submit to the Lord and his cleansing power, it's just amazing how life smooths out. Doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles. Does not mean that you're not going to have trials. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be peachy keen and you're going to get that Maserati you've always wanted. That's not what it means. What it was means is that in your heart and in your very spirit, you're going to have a relationship with the Lord that brings you through any troubles that the enemy throws at you. He wants you to have that joy that is inexpressible and full of glory.
Yes.
Now, with all that I've said for the last 3 weeks, including today, I'm going to ask you this morning, Where does all this begin? Where does it begin? Where in my life does it begin where God starts to do this work in me? It starts by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm saying not as just to receive him as Savior, but as Lord.
Right.
If you were to die today, do you know if you would go to heaven? I ask you those of you that are watching online. If you were to die today, do you know if you would go to heaven? Because if you're not sure, you can be sure today.
Amen.
Simply by opening your heart. You know the thief on the cross? It says Jesus was crucified with two thieves. One thief blasphemed Jesus, mocked him. In his pain, he still mocked Jesus. The other one didn't. He simply said, Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. Today. Jesus hanging on that cross in all of that pain, in that agony, his blood was just flowing out of his face, out of his back, his arms, the whips, whip marks, the nails in his hands and his feet. The blood was just dripping onto the ground. And yet in all of that agony, Jesus looked at him. And I can even picture him smiling, saying, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't have a chance to repent of all of his sins. Oh, my goodness gracious, he wasn't even baptized. And speaking of that, we need to have a baptismal service. If you haven't been baptized, you let me know, because we're going to have one here in the next 3 or 4 weeks. That man had no chance to read the word. And I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm just saying it came down to this. Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do this without you. Lord, please remember me when you get into your kingdom, because what he's saying is I recognize you're the only way I can get there. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't even pray the sinner's prayer. Maybe I'm messing with your theology. But he didn't.
Come on.
He didn't pray no sinner's prayer. Although we're going to pray that now, because there's power in it. That man just didn't have time. If you would like to know whether you're going to be in heaven or not, I challenge you to pray this prayer with me and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Father, I thank you for this congregation, for the people that are here, the people that are online and watching. And I pray, Father, that your word stir each one of us up. Open our eyes to the need to repent. Come before you to be cleaned, to be cleansed, to be made whole again. And rejoice in you and in the power of your might. And Lord, perhaps there are some here that have never prayed this, never really opened their heart up for you. So congregation, just pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I open my heart. I ask you to come in. Take residence in my life right now. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. I confess to you, I cannot save myself. I need you because you're the only way. So Lord, come into me, fill me, set me right. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then you can consider yourself saved. But if you are saved, then that means you're going to start on the road of following him. You can't just pray that prayer and then go and keep doing the way you're doing and living the life that you're living and doing the things you're doing that you know is sin. It needs, and I listen. I've been walking with the Lord for I don't know how many years, since 1971. Yeah, well, I am that old. And I'll tell you that, there's still a lot to be done. It's a journey. But please, get on the journey with the Lord. If you don't have a Bible, see me after the service or one of the elders. Jim, where are you? Tom, where's Tom? Tom right there. Okay, two elders there. See one of them or see me. We'll give you a Bible. We've got a lot of nice Bibles, and we don't want you to leave without one. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, but you are saved, but you don't have a Bible, let us know. We will give you one. Nobody should leave this place without the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please let us know. Please let us know. Maybe you'd like to lift your hand and say, yes, I did pray that prayer. One, hallelujah. Two, hallelujah. Three, four, hallelujah. Five, praise God, praise God. All right. Now, in the scriptures, your next step would be to be water baptized. So, I'll be announcing it next week, the date, and we'll have a service of water baptism. They're fun. It's exciting. You get real wet, and that's okay. And you drip all over the place, and that's okay, because it's really cool. And see me after the service. We can talk more about it. I want to bless you this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and he be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and that he give you peace. That he will give you peace he will give you courage. Courage to face what you know you need to face. Courage to deal with what you know you have to deal with. You need to deal with, because there's a sill in your life. There's a part of your life that's beginning to rot out because you have not been tending to it. The blessing is for courage. To face what you need to face. And that you will submit that area to Jesus Christ, who is the only one that has the power to deliver you from it and put you back on the road of righteousness. Hallelujah. I bless you with that courage this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.